Hey everybody, welcome to Two Out the First. It's April 19th, 2024. I'm Ryan Balaji. It's been a heck of a week. Happy Friday to you. Hopefully you're getting out and playing golf today or sometime this weekend. Got to play a Wednesday night league with some dads from a kid's school. So we're playing a nine-hole league this year. I'd subbed in for a couple of years, and now I'm in the league. And it's going to be a fun few weeks. We're playing four-man teams, and you're going to get to play nine holes. Best score, and then they somehow have some magical adjustment based on your score, which is very strange to me. But hey, whatever. We're having a good time out there getting after it. Hopefully you are as well. We are presented by our friends at Swannies. Check them out, swannies.co. Use the promo code GOLFNEWSNET25 and save 25% off your first order. Looking mighty fine with the collection this spring. I am going to be getting into some Camden hoodies. Going to get a couple of them coming my way. They're in great colors, all kinds of different looks and colors at swannies.co. All right. So, a couple things to talk about. First, we don't have, like, live news. Like, there's no, live controversy, nothing. It's been pretty nice, to be honest with you. They have the first round of the tournaments for the week in the books. One thing I do want to point out, and you can check this out on my Twitter /X or Golf News Net, either way. But there's a 15-year-old kid named Miles Russell. He is the world number one junior. He is playing in the Korn Ferry Tour event this week, the LECOM Suncoast Classic in Lakewood Ranch, Florida. And we started doing a show in conjunction with the French Lick Resort, which now hosts the Tour Championship, the Korn Ferry Tour Championship, presented by United Leasing and Finance, at their place. And we'll be there in October to cover it in person and do some TV shows and all that good stuff. But we started a series with them, web series, leading up to it over the course of the U.S. portion of the schedule called The Road to French Lick. And we did our first episode last week. It's done really well. People are really happy to see Korn Ferry Tour coverage. And my co-host, Brendan Sweeney, was down at Lakewood Ranch for pre-tournament stuff just to kind of catch up with a couple of players, Craig Bowden, Chris Baker. And one of the guys that he talked to was this kid, Miles Russell. And he went over to him because he saw how young-looking he was and also how viciously fast he swung the golf club and just had to go talk to the kid. And he shot a 3-under-68 in the first round. 15-year-old kid. I think the lead was 8-under, 7-8-under. I mean, he was 4-under through 6 and then played 1-over the rest of the way. He probably realized, oh, wait, I actually can do this. And maybe freaked out a little bit. But played great. Great golf, which is awesome. So if you want to get to know him, you can check out our Twitter or X. That's over there. And then you have the first round of the RBC Heritage. And I have to admit that I know that what the signature events are, and I know that they mean great fields, they still don't really do anything additional for me compared to the way they were. When it was a designated event or when it was just an invitational, semi-invitational after the Masters. It didn't really matter to me how the field was constructed or anything. I didn't care. And I just wanted to see Harbortown. I played Harbortown like 13, 14 years ago. I really enjoyed playing Harbortown. I did not think I would. It is very tight. It's very difficult to get your ball around. It's just a different golf test, especially for a place that's one of the better courses on the planet. So I really relish that, and I can't wait to get back there someday and play again at Hilton Head. That's why I watch it. I don't necessarily watch it because there's 42 of the world top 50 in it like there are this week. There are only 69 players in the field. It doesn't matter to me whether it's 69, 132, whatever. That limited field does not do it for me. And frankly, to a degree, top 50 players don't even do it so much for me anymore. I just want to see an interesting golf tournament. And at least the end of day one, you got JT Poston in the lead. And we talked about him a fair amount on our golf betting show, The Press, that he had a good chance. He plays the golf course well, and he's in good position. I liked Matt Fitzpatrick this week. He was okay on day one or two under. Just kind of hanging in there. It's a no-cut event, so I'm not, there's nothing to worry about a cut-wise. That's not going to happen. So, Seamus Power showed up on the leaderboard. Colin Morikawa continued his good form from the Masters, played pretty well, which I'm happy to see. That's intriguing. Hopefully he's figured something out and can be a force for the rest of the year. At least someone needs to step up to Scottie Scheffler. But we'll see what happens the rest of the week. And then you had the first round of the Chevron Championship over on the LPGA. It's their first major of the year. It's near Houston at a place called The Club at Carlton Woods in a town called The Woodlands, which is basically a suburb of Houston. And Nelly Korda did not have the lead after day one. Lauren Coghlan does. I think she shot 6 under par. So a very good first day for her. And then Nelly was just kind of languishing out there for the first 11, 12 holes of a round, like maybe even 1 under, just kind of hanging around. And then turn it on down the stretch. I think 4 under for her last six, finished 4 under par, 2 strokes back. And all of a sudden, I went from, uh-oh, this is in her head, to, oh God, this tournament's over. And Nelly goes late early, so she's out on the golf course today in the early wave at the Chevron, which, by the way, if you are an ESPN Plus subscriber, you can check that out. They have featured groups coverage for like a long time. It's a lot of hours on ESPN Plus ahead of the tournament coverage. So if you're interested in that, check that out. And then, of course, it's on Golf Channel. So Nelly's out there already. I didn't want to kind of spoil it, but she's out there already through six. Again, even par, 2 back of Lauren Coghlan, who tees off at a little after noon. Marina Alex shot 68 along with Nelly yesterday. Marina Alex is really one of my favorite players to enjoy. She's looks like she's having fun out there and seems like the kind of person you would get along with. So hopefully she continues to play well. Lottie Woad, who won the Augusta National Women's Am, shot 71 yesterday, and that had her on the fringes of contention. I mean, she has a legitimate chance at this thing right now. And Gabby Ruffles, who had a really great season last year on the Epson Tour, won, what, 2 or 3 times, like, right away. Ensured she was going to get a card. Playing pretty well so far this year. She shot 69 yesterday, so she has an opportunity to move up the board. You've got Atiyah Titikun, who's up there in 69. Lydia Ko shot 69. Anna Nordqvist, who has, what, 3-4 majors. She shot 70 along with Maya Stark, who's up there with a 70 as well. So some pretty decent scoring. This golf course held its own last year once it got particularly windy and it was a little cold and rainy. I would expect you're going to get somewhere in the 12, 13 under par range that wins this thing, but who knows, I guess. But I think that's a reasonable kind of assumption given everything. So the coverage is on ESPN Plus if you've got it, and then Golf Channel NBC. I think they pick it up pretty early as well on Golf Channel each day. If you are looking for today's schedule, yeah, they're on at 10 a.m., so they're already up and rolling. So from 10 to 2 p.m., they take a break, and then they come back from 6 to 8 p.m., pick up the end of that. The Peacock coverage is just mirrors that. And then ESPN Plus is basically all day, 8:55 a.m. to 8 p.m., which that's great. That's great. It's not like Masters Live, right? It's not like Masters.com where they have 900 cameras and it's perfect, but that you're getting that kind of marathon coverage is a good thing. I'm very happy about that. That's all I can ask for as someone who's banged the table over and over again for more LPGA coverage than just cursory windows on Golf Channel that are kind of bordered every which way by PGA Tour umbrella events, and they get no priority. On ESPN Plus, it doesn't matter, right? You can stream it however you want. There's nobody that's going to kick you off. They have separate streams for everything. It's very nice. So enjoy that if you can. I still don't really love the club at Carlton Woods as a host course, if I'm being candid. It's not my favorite. But what is a positive is that Chevron has agreed to be the title sponsor of this tournament through 2029 now. And they increased the purse, which was supposed to be $5.2 million this year. They increased it by $2.7 million before the tournament to $7.9 million. There's this really fascinating arms race happening between the LPGA majors and the CME Group Tour Championship, the most lucrative events on the schedule by far, the six most lucrative. The rest are not even all that close. There is no other event that's all that close. And among the majors, the Chevron was the one that languished the most because it just did. The ANA purse, when it was the ANA inspiration, always languished. And as the U.S. Women's Open went up to $10 million by having a presenting sponsor, which is now Ally Financial, that kind of kickstarted things. To be fair, I actually think the AIG sponsoring the Women's Open was really the jumpstart for that. They started jacking up the purse into like the $7 million range. Then you had the Women's PGA Championship as part of all that kind of arms race stuff, kick it up. And that was good. And then you had the Amundi Evian kind of come up a little bit in the last year or two. And then this was the last of the five majors that kind of was just not quite on that level. Now it is, which is pretty amazing to see the dramatic increase in prize money on the LPGA. I mean, it's a lot, and it's great for the sport. And hopefully with Nelly playing the kind of golf that she is, maybe Lydia Ko throws in a win to get to the Hall of Fame, get some of the young players to continue to play well and be a little bit more consistent. You've got a battery of three, four, five players you can really market around and continue to grow this thing. So it's a great week for the LPGA. I highly encourage you to watch the championship. It's on the weekend, 3 to 6 on NBC. And then they have an extra hour ahead of time on Peacock from 2 to 3. If you're going to watch it that way, you can just watch the whole thing on Peacock. And then they have the weekend coverage, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on ESPN+. So lots of different ways to watch it. It could be a second screen, third screen, but I would strongly encourage you to check it out. So that's really so far what we've got going on tournament-wise. There's an Asian Tour event, I believe, in Saudi Arabia. Pretty sure it's the Saudi Open. I'm not 100% on that, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. And then on the PGA Tour Champions, we've got the Invited Celebrity Classic in Irving, Texas at Las Colinas Country Club, which is an invited-owned facility. And this is kind of a celebrity pro-am event. Started by the same guy, Mike Flaske, who engineered, created, whatever you want to say, the what is now the Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions on the LPGA. Similar kind of idea of having concurrent tournaments, having a pro tournament, having a amateur or celebrity tournament at the same time. It's a cool format. It's a cool thing to get people to come out and watch people that are celebrities come play golf and then just happen to take in pro golf at the same time. And hopefully you kind of convert them into fans of both. Because the celebrity golf can be a lot of fun. I would actually like to go to the American Century Championship at Lake Tahoe 1 year. I've been invited in the past and just not been able to do it. But I would really like to go check it out. I think it'd be a good time to see it. So hopefully I don't poo-poo on celebrity golf. Like, all right, if that's a reason to get someone in the door, then I'm cool with it. I'm totally fine with that. If that's a reason to watch, count me in, because we want more eyeballs in the game. We want more people to check things out. So I hope that happens. I hope that works out. And they've been doing, I think this is the third year for it, perhaps? Second or third year for that tournament. And they don't get everybody, like every great Champions Tour player to play, because some of them are just kind of, I don't want to play in a celebrity thing. Well, that's up to you. That's your loss kind of thing. But also, kind of once you get to that stage in life, you are pretty set in your ways. You've kind of decided what works for you and what doesn't. But still good field. Still a lot of good players. Vijay Singh's playing. I mean, he made the cut last week at the freaking Masters. So he can still play some golf in his 60s, which is pretty cool. Unique to the sport, of course. So that's kind of the lay of the land here so far this week in professional golf. There's not really a whole lot to build off of in terms of controversy or someone saying something particularly dumb and that in and of itself to me is an important thing to talk about, because the majors seem to have this way of sort of sweeping things to the side from the public view and going, all right, well, we're just going to care about the golf for 4 days and or 5 days, you know, practice rounds, whatever you want to call it. But we're gonna lead with that. That's what's going to matter. And then we just kind of put everything else to the side for a week or two. That said, I did find it interesting that Taylor Gooch, of all people, took umbrage with Jon Rahm and Phil Mickelson and their suggestions that LIV Golf would be soon going from 54-hole events to 72-hole events. Rahm really talked about it as a wish list item. Like, he thought it would be more helpful to go to 72 holes. And Phil said after the Masters, they're probably going to do it for most, if not all, events. Then you have Taylor Gooch, who was apparently on a media call ahead of LIV's event next week in Australia, which was by far their most popular event, their highest visibility event in terms of fan attendance, in terms of total attention. You had the hole-in-one from Chase Koepka that was a pretty wild scene. I mean, there were a lot of people cheering, hooting, and hollering, and it made it seem like LIV maybe had some mo. But, you know, beyond that, they've kind of struggled. No, they haven't kind of. They've really struggled to build. And Taylor Gooch was kind of just went off on that subject about 72 holes and suggested it's arbitrary. Like, how do you decide where to stop? Why, if 54 is good enough, why 72? Why not 90 or 108? I mean, he literally said those words. And you know, he tried to bring it back to this. We're just trying to give the fans a good product. Well, dude, I don't know if you've noticed, but no one watches LIV on television. Now, there's a declining number of people who are watching the PGA Tour on television as well. And we can have the conversation about how many of those people that don't watch on TV anymore are streaming. But I assure you, it is not more than the people who left TV. That's not how it works. The audience for this programming is shrinking in general. And the reason why it does so well is because it's live. And that's why it's so valuable. But after that, eh. So the audience isn't getting bigger. And the audience for LIV isn't really getting bigger. It is what it is. It's a couple hundred thousand people in the CW. Okay. So what will get more people to watch? At this point, 2 years into it, or really almost 3 years into it, but let's just call it 2 years. It's their third season. You can't say that 54 holes is working. I don't know. I really don't think it makes that big of a difference. The 54 hole. I mean, I think it's kind of lame, but I don't care. It just gives you one less day to sell tickets, right? That's up to you. I don't think there's a massive difference in the quality of the play from 54 to 72. But Phil Mickelson did talk about this at the Masters, saying it's a different format. It's a different style. The 54-hole format is a sprint, right? And I've talked about this on the Champions Tour over the years with Champions Tour players. The 54-hole tournament is a sprint. You have to start strong. You don't get to play your way into it Thursday, Friday. Then you make your move. There's none of that. You either start strong or you don't. And if you don't, you're going to struggle. And that is the difference. Get to a 72-hole event, you can have one mediocre round, maybe even one kind of bad round, and turn it around. You can't do that, really, in the 54-hole format. And does that make it more or less or the same validity in terms of the champions they've crowned? I mean, I guess that's kind of up to you, but it's also kind of up to the players themselves, right? If they hate it so much and they have influence over the format, why wouldn't they change it? What's the difference to LIV to putting on a 72-hole event or a 54-hole event? In terms of golf course rental, facility rental, they still rent it for the week. So it doesn't make a difference whether you're doing it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Thursday, Friday, Saturday in the case of the Vegas event because of the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter. Like, you're still paying for that. So I think that wouldn't really matter. I think LIV would probably be fine with that. And yes, they could go, okay, well, it's not, you know, LIV doesn't stand for 54 holes anymore. It stands for 54 players. All right, fine, whatever. At this point, LIV is a brand name. It's not all about the Roman numeral thing anymore. People know what LIV Golf is, even if they change the number of holes or number of players or anything. It's still going to be LIV Golf. It is what it is. Just like the PGA Tour is its own brand, even though there are thousands of people who still believe that the PGA of America runs PGA Tour events, which is, that's kind of weird. I think if they had it to do over, the PGA Tour would have a different name. They just would. Because of that connection. They want the connection to the PGA of America. But as a brand name, you would name it something different today. So I thought Gooch pushing back on this notion that the number of holes doesn't matter, in one way, is very Gucci-ian, right? He's won multiple times. He's made himself a name for himself and made a lot of money on LIV by winning and also by saying dumb things. And for him, that is that's something, I guess, to kind of protect. So maybe he worries if they go to 72 holes, he won't be as successful. I don't know. Maybe he's just kind of this belief, like, we've got this product and I think it's good and we don't need to do anything about it. Also fine. We'll see. You know, we'll kind of see if they make that change. They're not going to do it in the middle of this season, though. They've got the contractual capability to change the way the tournaments are presented pretty much at any time. They can tell them how many tournaments and in the format in which they're going to play. That you're playing live events, buddy. So you do what we say. When we say jump, you say how high. And they could make that change. I don't think they will do that this season. But I think that they will eventually, probably for the next season. And between that conversation and the LIV folks putting out their press release about their new executive hires, and the only thing you need to, I mean, there are a bunch of, there's a guy who came from Equinox, who's a big private equity guy, took a lot of debt on, apparently. There's a guy named Tim Taylor, which of course made me, a child of the 80s and 90s, think about Home Improvement, and Tim Allen, so that was an easy joke tweet. You know, but that information is out there to let you know, hey, we are trying to grow and expand our ranks and formalize our operations, not start to wind them down in the event that we're kind of shutting this thing down to invest in the PGA Tour. So you're getting these mixed signals of, is there progress? Is there not progress? Tiger pretty much said, you know, the meeting with Al Ramayan in the Bahamas was a positive thing to do, but not necessarily anything positive to have come out, steps forward to come out of it yet, but that was an important step to take to have met in person. Who knows what that means? It just seems like a big kind of stalemate at this point. And until there's some kind of other indicator out there that, you know, something is afoot, and I haven't seen anything like that, I think we're basically left to react to the public quotes and stuff like that. I mean, you're just not going to get that word out there from either side until it actually happens. So there's that. That's going to do it for us today on the show. Relatively shorter show than usual. They've been a little bit shorter this week, kind of closer to 20, 22 minutes. We have been kind of creeping toward 30 minutes on this show, and I want it closer to 20. So that actually makes me happy. We'll be back next week with a full slate of shows. I don't have federal taxes to do. We don't have a major to recover from. So we'll get back on the normal schedule for the show. If you have any questions, email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky @RyanBallenge. I am on Facebook and YouTube @RyanBallengeGolf. And Golf News Net, it's on every one of those services @the handle Golf News Net. Really appreciate if you give us a follow. We're growing on all the platforms. We're actually trying on social media this year. I mean, this is the first year probably since I've started doing Golf News Net full time, at least since 2019, that I've actually tried to grow the Golf News Net social media presence, not just my own, because that was not how I built our business. And as we continue to grow, you know, this and the radio and TV stuff coming out, there's no such thing as search engine optimization for, I mean, there is, but not really for live radio, for TV channel. It's a brand name thing. We got to get our brand out there. So that's what we've been doing. That's what we're trying to do. But it's really weird to all of a sudden go like, hey, maybe I should tweet from the Golf News Net account today, like once, and see what happens. So far, good results. So check in with us there if you're interested. We'll be back next week. Hope you have a great weekend. Hope you enjoy the golf. And we will talk to you next time on Two Off the First.